You sound great.
Thank you.
I've been practicing.
Something's on.
What's up?
Dong. Dude, so we have Hassan Rahim here. He's been here all morning, actually. All the amazing music is all because of him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got those records for you guys in London at Cosmos, and then I got some from Two Bridges right here in Chinatown, in the hometown, in the hood.
Did you get them like on the walk over this morning?
No. No, I was like trying
in
to
prep.
Yeah, it took me like 3 hours just to get over this bridge. It's like when water falls from the sky, everyone freezes.
Everything stops.
Yeah, everyone freezes like deer. They're like, oh, damn. Wait. Are we supposed to keep driving or do we just stop in the middle
of
the street?
We just wait till the rain stops.
Yeah, so I think that's usually how it goes out here. It's worse in L.A. Worse in L.A.
Did you vote this morning too?
I voted. So actually, Kimberly, my lovely girlfriend, who should arrive here at some point, I think I'm trying to get her to come in and jump on the mic for a second. But
throw questions at you.
Yeah, so I was in Munich. I was in Germany last week. And over the weekend, and I got my ballot. I'm still registered in California.
Oh, okay.
So cool. I'm going to try to stay registered in California as long as I can. Yeah. But I was like, yo, my ballot came while I was away. I was like, can you please hook me up?
Did you fill it out for you?
Oh, yeah. Can I say that?
I don't know.
Is that legal?
I have no idea. I have no clue.
So she filled out some stuff. My big sister, Amanda, shout out Amanda. She was like, yo, here's the poll. Here's the shit to fill in. And I was like, thank you. Thank God. And then Kimberly went and laced me up.
So good. Yeah. So you got it in? That's rad.
Yeah, got it in. Oh, wait, should I put the record on?
If you want. Yeah, if you want some nice background sounds.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice, right?
That is nice, yeah. Actually. Yeah, so she voted for me. So that shit's turned in. It's like vote by mail. I never trust it, though. But
I
you got to trust it. There's nothing else I can do.
I feel like of all the governmental agencies, like USPS, I trust. Like, they've never really failed me.
Really?
I guess, compare it, A, how much you pay to send something.
On the spectrum, you're right. Yes.
Yeah, it's like, that's all right. You know, that 32 cents or whatever, it'd feel like you get. Decent service.
Yeah, I mean, like, so as like a guy that's sending, actually more buying things online all the time, I'm on eBay, so I'm always DMing people. I'm like, hey, FedEx or UPS, please. And the reason is, like, the USPS, I've had stuff just bounce between coasts for
it
like
just,
a week.
It just, like, sits around. Uh-huh. Like, all...
Yeah, I sent a shirt. Actually, Nick Schoenberg, I hope he's listening. Shout out Nick at Nike. Nike News is my guy, but I sent him one of the MoMA shirts I did for PS1 warm-up. Yeah. And he was like, dude,
he's like, where is
it's bouncing between two Portland post offices for a week now. I was like, what do I do? He's like, I don't know, but you'll probably get it back.
Damn.
And then send it back with FedEx.
Well, shit.
But
hopefully
actually,
your ballot makes it over there.
I think it will. I think I'm positive. I'm optimistic. But that said, USPS on the spectrum of like government agencies is the best one for sure.
I guess the bar is pretty low right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's stiff competition, but... You know, they get some letters out and stuff.
They haven't gotten co-opted in some weird, like, propaganda scheme quite yet.
Yeah. Well, so did you hear that they're probably going to take it private or something? Or they're trying to make...
USPS?
Yeah.
I did not hear that.
I hope they don't, because that would really mess up a lot of mail for people, right?
See,
I
mean, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How's that? That sounds like a terrible idea.
Yeah, so you have, like, you go to the post office at 8 a.m. or whatever. You can see, like, all the people from every community going there to buy their book of stamps and... You know, still send their letters to people or bills or whatever, that, you know. And I think imagine taking USPS from subsidy, you know, from subsidized like prices to just, you know, oh, it's $2.
Man, and you're totally going to have like preferred customer lines and like weird like express things for richer people.
Yeah. Man, speaking of that, dude, flying airplanes.
You just came back last night.
Yeah.
From where?
Munich.
How long were you there for?
Well, I was in Munich for the weekend. I was in Nuremberg for some work stuff.
Right.
But Munich was cool, so I drove myself there on the Autobahn. Shout out the Autobahn. Shout out
to Autobahn.
Yeah, shout out specifically the part of the Autobahn where it has the little gray strike to the number, because then you just go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that how it tells you?
Yeah.
Like that. There's like no limit at that point.
Yeah, it'll say like 80 km, and then in a few kilometers it'll say 100 km, and then it'll say 120 km, and then it's just strike through, and then you just hit it.
That's nuts.
Yeah, but you'll have like really crazy German dads with like driving gloves in like a Porsche Cayenne, just like, you
know? Like they just peaked. They're like, this is why I live.
Yeah, yeah, this is it. They're like, I'm here, I'm German.
Damn.
Yeah, but it's funny because I think I'm like secretly German. I swear, like I was just looking at all the shit in my house, and then like, I'm obsessed with BMWs, and then I got there, I was just, like, loving how everything is set up infrastructurally and architecturally.
Do you feel at home?
No, not necessarily, but I felt, like, I connected. I connected, and I was like, okay, cool.
Had you been out there before?
Yeah, I've been to Berlin first, and then I went to Berlin. I've been to Berlin a few times, and it was Frankfurt. I went to Frankfurt. Right. No, it wasn't even Frankfurt. It was Mainz.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
small,
yeah.
Totally. Yeah, small town. And then what else? Dresden. Dresden's like almost close to Poland. Hmm. So you drive north, and my homie, what's his name? Owen. Owen Hoskins. Shout out Owen Hoskins. Really good web developer. He moved to Greece. Ultimate chill mode.
He's like got an island. Yeah. Just hanging out in the sand.
Yeah. Just there's Wi-Fi. He's fine.
Yeah.
But imagine you're like, I'm in Berlin, but what's more chill?
You're like Greece.
Yeah. How do we really turn it up here?
It's like Berlin's still a little anxiety there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little anxiety, but it's good. But yeah. What was I going to say? What were we talking about?
I don't know, just flying around.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, flying. So we were talking about, like, lines preferred customers. So this is like, how my brain works. It's going to trail off.
Not
no linear thoughts. It's perfect. Great. So, so premium economy is basically just economy. And they created basic economy, which is, like, the nosebleed seats. So, like, your knees are cut, you know, slicing into your legs.
So they didn't make a better economy. They just made a worse economy.
They exactly.
Made, like, normal economy, premium economy.
Yes. And that's what drives me nuts. I was just like, bro, why? So you think you're getting a good deal on a ticket, right? But then you get there and it really hurts. And I'm not like super tall or anything like that. I'm like 5'11", but I have long legs and I have like, you know, tight muscles and shit. It's just like my dad has tight muscles. It was just genetic shit. So I can't be like that. You can't put your body through that for like 8 hours. You
what
know?
Airline was this?
Wait, what?
What airline was this?
Lufthansa, which wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah.
They're cool.
They should be good.
They're good.
Yeah.
But do it on Delta. Do that shit on American. Try that shit.
Oh, don't do anything on American.
Don't.
Except vote.
Except vote. Today. Vote.
Today. Exactly. They should do that. Like, if you have to be on a flight, you can vote using the little screen behind
you. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
That'd be so good.
Can we do that? Anybody? Project people?
Yeah, we can like.
Yeah.
We can probably like program that somehow.
Yeah, phone in right now. We're gonna set this voting infrastructure up everywhere in the world. But yeah, it was good. I was traveling, got back, sleeping in my bed's like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So I have like I got one of those memory foam mattresses everybody has. There's like Casper, Lisa. All
yeah.
Those
which
ones.
One did you get?
I got Lisa because it was just like. Honestly, a fucking ad served me on Instagram. Seriously.
And
I was
like click.
Yeah. Done. I was like, you know what? And I was laying in my dumbass bed, like all uncomfortable and shit, necks tight. You know
Shout
what
out
I mean?
To Lisa.
Shout out Lisa. Yeah. And then I was like, bro, I need this shit. And I think what it was is they were trying to compete. So the price is lower. And right. I was like, let's get it. So,
I mean, I have a Casper and I hate it.
Really?
So I feel like I need to like shop a little more for a new one.
Wait, why do you hate it?
It's just like weirdly squishy.
It's
like too squishy.
Too squishy?
I like more firm.
Yeah, mattresses. Yeah. That's how I need my pillows. My pillows need to be firm because.
Oh,
my,
interesting.
I think my dome, actually, what it is, my neck is so tight that it just clamps the pillow throughout the end of the night. So it's just like, you know, and then all of a sudden I got more pillow on like the left.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like a burr. It looks like a fucking peanut. You know what I mean? So the middle of my pillow is fucked. And
so like real support for the head.
Yeah, I need that. So
like
I got the
moderate support for the body.
Yes, medium hard pillows. But then my back needs to just, you know, be fluid and move around and do all that stuff.
I feel
stuff,
like there probably isn't like a hard pillow company. I feel like that's a new idea. The hardest pillow in the game.
Hardest pillows. Shit's hard. Wait, who would be the spokesperson for the hardest pillow in the game? Because we could do this campaign.
DMX?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he probably sleeps well.
I feel like he doesn't even fucking use pillows. DMX is like too hard for pillows.
This is the only pillow I use.
This is the softest shit ever. I'm not gonna do this commercial. Oh yeah, actually, this is the only pillow I do use. What am I thinking? He might be a little too hard. Does DMX sleep? That's the question. DMX, phone in.
Let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah, we have questions.
Yeah, we got any A&Rs managers that have worked with DMX, please give us a call. 646-476-5075.
Hotline's open for DMX only.
DMX.
Or other pillow companies that want to debate.
DMX and DMX affiliates only. Casper competitors.
That's right.
Pillow manufacturers looking to step their shit up. Give us a ring.
Into the pillow game.
Into the pillow game. I see a bright future for this.
This is already the most productive interview I think we've had.
Really?
Yeah.
I
feel like we started like four companies just now.
Yeah, we need some we got some project managers in the house.
Yeah.
Some designers over here.
VCs, come on in.
Oh, guys, Kimberly Drew's in the house right
Kimberly
now.
Kimberly Drew's in the house.
Yes. Yes, she's here. She just voted. I believe she had to go to Jersey to vote.
Yeah, cool. Welcome.
So that's my lady.
Kimberly Jude is the one responsible also for Hassan voting.
Yes. I could have not voted without Kimberly Drew being here in my life. She definitely, she voted. She's wearing two stickers today. I got zero stickers.
She earned them both.
I can't even gram it. I feel like what they got to do next election is, and maybe we could do this other company too.
All right.
Is we're going to design the I voted stickers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So then we're going to do drops. So if you go vote at this place, you got to get that sticker.
That's so good.
And then, you know, like the Supreme Metro card or some shit, you're just like, yeah, I got the fucking voting sticker. Supreme, get in the voting game.
So you got that District 36 sticker?
Yeah. What? That's the hardest sticker in the game. How did you get that?
You had to move there 6 months before.
Yeah.
Like re-register your address. You got to really earn it.
Yeah, you got to earn it. You're like,
yeah, it takes like the Supreme standing in line to a whole nother level.
Yeah. You got to
move your entire house there first.
Move your house in line. Yeah. That's the whole line. It's just one street, District 36. Get the sticker. Let's go. I'm going to grab some water.
Yeah, get some water.
Actually, get my bottle of water. Give me 1 second.
All right, no worries.
Oh. Actually.
Dude, he actually came prepared. It was sitting right behind him. He knew what he wanted.
Update. I took my headphones off and I found the water. It was right here.
He just couldn't hear it before.
Yeah. We got it, so.
So you've been here since the morning. What have you been working on? Can you talk about the stuff you're working on?
Yeah, I can talk about it in a very loose, cryptic, archaic, nondescript manner.
Perfect.
Exactly. And I've been working on this project for a brand that makes stuff.
Perfect. And love then, those brands.
Yeah, I love those brands. Their stuff is good. And I'll have some tea too. Thank you, Dong. Yeah. We're pouring some tea. What kind of tea is this?
Asian.
Only the best. That's right.
I want to say jasmine, but I should probably know this. I don't really know.
Mm. I'm gonna say it's jasmine. Jasmine.
It is really good.
Yeah, it's good.
Buy for really good jasmine. Definitely Asian. Probably jasmine tea.
Oh yeah. If you guys come by, the address is 34 East Broadway.
Yeah,
you guys all day. Come by anytime. We got some peeps in here that just swung on by and they're posted up and they're chilling and you guys can do the exact same thing.
So working on some stuff for a brand that makes stuff.
Mm-hmm. Drinking that water too. I'm working on a brand thing.
Oh yeah.
And then
Sancho, you want the other side of the record on?
Oh yeah, let's do that. What do we got? Actually, I have an idea. Can you play the Fred Wesley and the JB's record right here? Damn right I am somebody. Yeah. This is a great record. Shout out that record.
Is this a new find?
That one is actually an old find, but a new acquisition.
Oh nice.
Yeah, so I was like trying to get it. I just had like the MP3 from Soulseek days.
Yeah.
And because I think this record has the like the Public Enemy number one sample, like wah, 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 wah. You know that one? I don't even know what instrument that is. It's so good. I'm pretty sure it's a synth or something, but that song, original song, is better than, I don't know, everything.
And now you found it.
Yeah, I found it. So I had to get the vinyl. I was doing a mix at some point, and I was like, I made the mix on my computer using some application called DJ that you just buy on the App Store. Cool. And I was like, kind of took it seriously. I was like, I got to buy all the records and do it right. But I never finished the mix, but I have all the records. But that's very me. Is like, ooh, I'm going to do that thing. And then I kind of do it, and then I didn't finish it.
Turn it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Just a touch.
Turn that shit up.
Turn that shit up. Beautiful.
Nice. So working. Let me lower the mic. So I have. I told you guys my neck's all tight.
It's a family thing.
Yeah, it's a family thing. Whole family tight necks. Got to stretch. Uh-huh. There we go. I'm getting real cozy. You guys hear that Fred Wesley in the back, real nice. So. But working. I actually checked a bunch of emails. I didn't respond to them yet.
Nice.
But reading them's half the battle because I'm just trying to like wrap my head around some of the minutia in language sometimes.
I feel like at least you opened them. That's a big step. No, that's serious. It's like,
well, you would think it's a big step.
You got past the first like half subject line. You're like,
Well, no. Nah, so my OCD consists of like not having them unread.
Oh, okay. So you just clear it out.
For anybody listening that works with me, I read it.
Send it twice.
Send it twice, yeah. Get a boomerang. What's that plug-in boomerang? And have it just resend three times that day, and I'll check it once for sure, at least once. But
he definitely has opened your email.
Yeah, I opened it.
Might not have processed it yet.
I'm interested.
Yeah, he's got the afternoon, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the whole afternoon to check the emails. But yeah, that, I'm actually going to be in Tokyo. Shout out Noah Sherburn, our guy.
Noah Sherburn.
Introduced us, yeah.
He did, yeah.
So he's in Japan right now doing some stuff for a company that also makes things, right?
I believe so. They make things, yeah.
Yeah, it's a brand that makes things. And He's chilling. He's been in Tokyo for like 2 weeks, but I'm going to go to Tokyo.
Are you? Are you going to see him there?
No.
Oh.
He comes back tomorrow to LA. Not even back here, LA.
LA.
Yeah, but.
Well, Noah, call in if you're still up.
Yeah.
And out.
Yeah, call in, Noah.
I assume he's at a club or something.
Yeah.
Call from the club.
He might be at a club, yeah. He's got all the rad, like, techno house, like, vibey, like, Balearic disco clubs in Japan on lock, and, like, all the right people to show him around. So jealous.
How'd you meet Noah?
In L.A., man. I met him through Daniel DeJour. Shout out, Daniel. So
shout out, Daniel.
Daniel has Commonwealth Projects, which is a really great studio. They're doing, like, architecture, graphic design, creative direction, production. And Noah was doing some, like, architecture stuff for him. And then, I think we just hit it off on BMW shit. Yeah.
It's like, a common thread.
Yeah, so it's BMW shit. He has two BMWs currently. I have something like that as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And
here or out in
I have a like car here, yeah. That I in LA there's some other situations going on that I want to get into. Good situations, just like project cars. You know, and like things that are in the works and moving. It sounds like I'm super fancy, but it's
there's like a 10-car garage out there. Just
I think Noah and I were talking about that at one point. I was like, what if we just got this like garage in like Exposition Park area or something, and it's like kind of cheap, you know? Just put all these whips in there. It's a bad idea, actually. It's a terrible idea. All this space to just fill.
But I kind of feel like it's going to happen. I feel like that's almost inevitable at this point. Yeah. You've already been announced. You announced it just now. And it's definitely, I feel like, something both of you want.
It would be sick. I mean, it's something we both want. Maybe we'll be like a little bit older, like 50s or something. And then actually one of my old mechanics, he has a spot like that. So like in, what's it called? Torrance?
Mm-hmm.
Torrance, California. It's like Gardena. Yeah. So he has a garage that's just like him and all his buddies that have project cars. So there's like a really sick, like a Ferrari in there, vintage Ferrari. Yeah. These guys have like Opel GTs and I don't know, just random stuff.
And
they
just work on the cars out of the garage?
Kind of, yeah. But also they're just like, oh, this one was on Craigslist for so cheap and I couldn't like pass it up because it'll be worth money in 10 years. So I bought it. And I was like, yeah, that's the old man aspirational vibe I aspire for.
You guys look good there. I feel like it's definitely going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Just whips.
I feel like I'd move out to LA to hang out in your garage.
It would be a tight garage. I mean, we would definitely have like a little setup. Maybe you guys could help us design the lounge area of the garage.
Yeah, we can do like a food radio LA out of like Hassan and Noah's garage.
Yes, yes.
The car theme season.
Yes, that would be tight. Yeah, I need a garage though. I think. No, I don't. We're not gonna go.
So do you work? Do you when you run your studio? Do you work as both Hassan Rahim and 1201?
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing. So I've always just been independent. I've been Hassan Rahim as like as an artist slash designer slash art director. There's like the multi-hyphenate. That's one of those things that always stressed me out because there's some people that tell me like, hey, you need to choose.
Yeah.
And the world wants you to choose. It's better if you just pick one thing. And I was like, dude, it just doesn't make me I don't feel excited about one thing. So as I decided I wanted to get into more commercial work because I really enjoy working in pop culture and things that are widely accessible to a lot more people, I wanted to create this umbrella called 1201 where I can actually use my name as Hassan, as an artist for projects that are special projects and, you know, things that are just like I feel really passionate about or like exhibitions and things like this. And then 1201 is like, hey, we did this really cool campaign XYZ. And, you know, a lot more people can work with it and it can live on to be bigger than just me. So yeah, 1201, I work as both.
So can you explain, especially on like the commercial side, because I know there's a lot of, I mean, we have a lot of friends that are also kind of those multi-hyphenates, but then also like a lot of kids that I think are just getting into some creativity or design.
Mm-hmm.
And same exact question is like, do I need to choose what to do?
Mm-hmm.
So from like an operational level, like any of these brands that approach you,
mm-hmm.
how do you specify what you actually do with them?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just like an umbrella of like creative direction? Are they looking for a specific campaign and they give you full rein on whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like in the beginning and in currently actually, people approach me for a specific project. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, we have this idea we want to do with you. We think you'd be great for it. Or they're just kind of like, hey, we have a few things going on. We want to talk. I'm going to turn this down a bit.
Yeah.
Fred Wesley's good background
it's
music.
Wild.
Sometimes. Yeah, but once that sax comes in, baby, woo! But so, you know, people hit me up for a specific idea sometimes and, I'm like, cool, let's get it. We do that. And, you know, oftentimes creative direction, sometimes consultation, some things don't even ever see light of day. It's like consultation in-house direction. Those are really fun because we get to sit with people and explore what something looks like from their end first. You know what I mean? A lot of research and things like that. But yeah, I think now I started to take more exploratory meetings with people where they're like, hey, we like what you do and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what just want to talk, just right. come talk and then see what's going on. So I think that's fun too, because it's really open-ended and we might have an idea for like, I don't know, let's do an exhibition around XYZ. And it's not always so finite, like with a deliverable, yeah. you know what I mean?
I mean, what's rad is like Noah introduced us, but when I was going through your work, when he first introduced it, it seemed like you're one of the few people where the design product that you put out seemed very much just coming, like it was your personality and your vibe just in whatever medium the thing was put out in, whether it's a shirt or a product or a
thank you
campaign or something. Like there wasn't a separation of like Hassan the person and the work, which was really nice.
Really cool.
And in a weird way, it made so much sense. And then I realized, I was like, I actually don't really know what you do. Like in the same way, it's like yes. the multi-hyphenate confuses people totally. In the kind of campaign, which is amazing. And
what
actually
does he
really
do?
Beautiful. It's like, you just want to work with Hassan just because you're Hassan and the whole vibe that you're kind of putting on stuff. So
I appreciate that a lot.
I forgot my question went as I was just kind of like,
we'll leave it as a compliment. Yeah, I really we'll appreciate that.
It's a complimentary hour. Hassan's amazing hour.
you were talking about how 1201 and Hassan, like you were asking if I make work under both. So maybe yeah. you're kind of segueing into like, what's the separation? Or yeah.
Well, I think it was just kind of like, well, maybe even just like before that, like, do you have a limit of the kind of work you want to do while you're doing? Or like, do you, for example, do you stick to digital? Do you stick to physical? Do you stick to kinds of products that you put your hand on or not really?
No, I think that is something that is always secondary for me, because the main project that I want to do is concept. So I think the medium or the application, digital, physical, literal, spiritual, that's all going to be communicated through what our initial intent was. So if we have a concept that is going to drive a message or just an idea, it might need to be printed. It might need to be a website. It might need to be a video. It might need to be a t-shirt. But I don't want to stay restricted to that.
I have a couple questions. Do you have a recent project? I know you're working on a bunch of stuff we can't really talk about in detail.
Couple things.
Do you have a recent project that's, let's say, done and dust that you can talk about in detail? Because I'd love to kind of understand, even from the first time you got that call or the email mm-hmm. to the final whatever party celebrating the launch of whatever it is you were doing, mm-hmm. the kind of different steps of figuring out what it is that you needed to make or design to.
Yeah, actually, let me think about that. While I'm thinking about that, you guys can take in this Fred Wesley. This is the song I was talking about. Okay, I thought about it. So I think last summer, and actually shout out Deepika, who's here right now. Deepika, yeah. Deepika's an amazing art director and designer. New York. But have the pleasure of working with her on this project. So this was last summer for Nike, is Air Max 97. So they're launching.
Is this the one that we worked on together? Or like overlapped
yes.
together?
Yeah.
Not
oh
directly.
God.
I was wondering about this one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is it.
But I feel like I only saw you at like the party.
Yeah.
Like, so, oh shit, that's what
you... Yeah, we barely made it to the party because yeah. we have just been up all night. You know what I mean? And I was at the printer like the day before and shit, but or maybe even the same day. But yeah, this was one where they reached out and they were like, we're launching this Air Max 97 Ultra, the new version of the Air Max 97, and they want to have a bit of like an homage to like the heritage of the shoe, which was rave culture. I believe that's kind of what it led to. They didn't design the shoe for rave people,
right.
but it really captured an era. It's like this silver ass shoe with futuristic lines, like really pre-millennium Y2K vibe. And they were like, we want to launch the shoe with Boiler Room as like an event. And they were like, we need a visual direction for the space and for the activation in general. Activation is a word I try not to use, but they needed to activate. Yeah,
you hear it a lot in the
you hear it. Yeah,
brand world.
Yeah, I mean, I run away from those words like not in a productive manner. Sometimes I don't even use the word creative. Like I hate using the word creative, but that's what we do. Creative activation. I'm just gonna say that. So. But it was awesome. They reached out and, ask me the questions about that. Because you were on it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, like, the most direct thing at the activation, at the event, was the posters.
Yes.
And basically, they were, like, versions of what you'd, like, a Subway poster. That's how I read them anyways. They were, like, these are, like, the version, Hassan's Nike's version of a Subway poster.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, like, what other, let's say, collateral did you make for that project?
Yeah, well, we started, I always say we, it was myself, Deepika, and Travis Brothers, really another really great art director and designer. And at the time, we were working out of my apartment before I got the studio space. And we needed like a kind of a logo, quote unquote, something that said Station 97. And then we needed these posters. And these posters were essentially going to line the whole space and be used. The posters turned into the direction and it turned into the collateral. I think they printed a few, like there were takeaway posters, and then they maybe ended up being used for other things, as well as like a digital invite for the actual thing, but that was it, posters.
That's right.
Yeah, and I actually love when we're restricted to that, because they're like 10 posters.
Yeah,
super consistent. Yeah, some with the sneaker in them, some without.
Yeah.
Go.
So just a quick background, the project was in a subway station, 97th Street, and... just for people listening. And so like there was kind of two rooms, one which boiler room took over, and that was basically like the club part.
Yes.
And then a pre-room that was more of a display of the shoes, and where your posters were, I think, more prominent in that first room, right?
Yeah, totally. There's like a first room you walk in, and then they had, they used these bus station, like the things that you get a newspaper from, and then those had the sneakers in them, right? Yeah. With lights.
Yeah.
And then there was a little booth, which would have been like the ticket stand, I guess, exactly. For the subway.
Like a newsstand.
Yeah, yeah, the newsstand. And then you could get the posters and a couple other things there. Like you could buy the shoe.
Right.
They dropped the shoe on the app, I think,
Yeah, you could only buy it, I think, when you were down at the party for that first day or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that was the party, and then they threw there was some programming throughout the space for a week. So they had like zine workshops and other stuff like that. Yeah.
So in terms of, because I do feel like what you guys came up with ended up really being the identity, certainly the graphic identity. I think a lot of that. Do you remember? Was the first ask help us with an identity for this whole launch, or like we have 10 posters, and then the identity kind of grew out of the stuff you were doing with the posters?
It was both. It was like, I guess, quote unquote, visual direction for this event / space / shoe, I guess shoe, you could say.
Yeah.
You know, in a way. It ended up living in a few stores too, like a couple stores regionally. So I think the Soho store had some really big blown up size of those and stuff. But yeah, that was pretty much the ask.
Awesome.
And then the direction was like, hey, we want to pay homage to this era without it being nostalgic and too retro. So the theme they kept throwing, or the phrase they had, was called Future Forward. So Future Forward was...
It's very Nike.
Yeah. Yeah, shout out all the copywriters that write that copy. Yeah, we see you. So I wish I was better with words. I would write copy too, but I appreciate that. Any copywriters, phone in.
Yeah, DMX hasn't called yet, so the phone lines are still open.
That's right. Yeah, but we decided to, the challenge is this. So like my work deals a lot in appropriation.
Okay.
And appropriation, not as thievery or not as, unoriginality or whatever. I don't have to say that, but I like to reference, like I'm not afraid, confident about referencing. And a lot of my image, like work has images in it. So it's all photo based. So a lot of things I do is like, okay, I'm a graphic designer, but there's almost no design sometimes. It's just this visual. So
it's like pulling references and like put them together.
Yeah. Like, well, so like that's in amazing. One way or another. Yeah. But image making.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, working in image making, we need to create images first. You know what I mean? So actually a lot of my work, is images first, design second.
Oh, interesting.
So with this one, we needed to have some kind of images that weren't just graphic type, whatever, because to me that's boring. We just do type on a poster. Like it needs to kind of have a call to action and a lot of different, hierarchies and stuff. And you need an image. So we decided to go public domain, and we needed to find some images that really, that we could use / license or, create something really quick. But we ended up going on the NASA website.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you remember like with that campaign, was there one image where like, oh shit, this is like a cornerstone to how we're going to look at this campaign, or like a series of images you found?
It was a series of images. Yeah. It was like, there was a few images of supernovas. So like, actually I wish I could just show you guys these. I'll post
can post them.
Yeah. We'll post them on the gram, but there's a few posters that had, it was like supernovas. It was grids and,
I can search for you as you tell me.
Cool.
Where should I go?
Go to Instagram. It's 1201.am.
Oh, sweet. Penis just arrived.
Yes, thank you.
These are so good.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was supernovas. There was also the Hubble Deep Field. So the Hubble Deep Field is a really important photograph in all of history, but in astrology. Geez. Shout out astrology, though.
Also, probably astrology.
Yeah, shout out Gemini's first. but yeah, it's actually the most important image. So basically, this has never been done before, but the astronomers decided to point the Hubble in one blank area of the universe and just leave it on a long exposure. Oh, wow. Yeah, so the Hubble Deep Field, and then however much longer later, they got the image back, and it shows like the very beginning of the universe. So this image is massive, and there's deep, 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 like the beginnings of galaxies. So the light we're obviously seeing is some of these things are long gone, mm-hmm. because the speed of light to get there is long, actually, so it's really far. But this image inspired a lot of things.
Were you looking for this image specifically for that campaign, or was it something that was in your mind, in your head, and you're like, oh, actually, we should go in this direction?
Yeah, I think we knew that we wanted to. Well, we did research first. So, Topeka's here. Topeka knows. Where's Topeka? Topeka, do you want to come over here?
Yeah.
Topeka, get on the mic.
Yeah, come chat. Yeah. David. David Lee is in the house. My guy. Amazing graphic designer.
Yeah, you can be on a two.
So we got Topeka here. Let's see.
So just stay like real close to the mic, like closer than you feel comfortable being.
Hello.
Wait.
Hey.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So. Cool. So Topeka, where did we find these images? I feel like what happened first was we needed some images for these posters, and we wanted to, I think, working with something that was there and flipping it. We dug through the NASA website, mm-hmm. Nebulas, I think European Space Agency, a bunch of places like this, and we just started finding like the best images.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like finding the best images also has to do with like your own personal taste. You know, there isn't really like a formula to it.
Yeah.
Like I think especially with Hassan, it was funny because this project just like was made for him. Like he already, I feel like he's already gone through the NASA public domain stuff like so many times.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he just like already knew. And then of course, like with Travis and I too, like, I don't know. I think we just all like aligned on like, okay, if this image hits, like it hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There
like
was
something about it just clicked.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. I think it was like, okay, this one has a really crazy composition, especially these nebulas. They're shot at like, you know, it'll be a star blowing up,
mm-hmm.
and then, oh yeah, I found it. Oh. So let me see if I opened it. Yeah, I didn't find it. I know where it is though. Here it is. Yeah. We're going to post it, guys. Here we go. So this was a combination of images.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember where the face came from. The face was like, this one was like over 100 years old. This might have been a public library image that's
yeah.
like way public domain of a face or something. But I think the way that a lot of us work too, and especially as designers that start in image making, the way you get your start isn't necessarily going to school and being like, oh, I love these typefaces. I like grids. You don't do that. Mm-hmm. You kind of, you're more Dilla with it. You're more Mad Lib with it. You find some rad records, you chop it up, you needle drop, and then you create something completely different. So we just went back to like, this is our method. This is how we did it. So sometimes these supernovas or nebulas or things like this have crazy compositions or like thermal imaging, stuff that's not supposed to be aesthetic at all. It's completely yeah. informational, but it's almost psychedelic. So it was perfect. And that's why a lot of, if you look at like vintage rave posters, we, mm-hmm. we did a study, right?
Yeah. And there was actually like the face, there wasn't necessarily like a face with like a starburst over it, but like that was kind of like the imagery of a lot of those rave flyers was like just weird out of the world compositions or just kind of like more collagey. And there was some funny stuff in the NASA that was like completely 3D rendered, like it wasn't even actual photos.
I think most of that stuff is yeah. too. I'm always like, mm-hmm. how much of this is real NASA?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, they'll say like artist rendition. I don't really know how yeah. far they go, but
yeah.
It's amazing. It's great. But
I feel like it must be like pretty heavily processed. But it's still like these incredible, like obviously the source images are just like mind blowing.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Speaking of that, have you guys seen the interview with Yo, I forgot the man's name, but he was talking about how he hacked into NASA's computer servers and found spaceship images that were edited.
No way.
Yes. Okay, we got to get this dude's name. Somebody knows his name here. My phone's not next to me for good reason, but we're going to we'll find it. We'll post it, too. But Steven something.
Is this a recent interview?
No, this is like 2003, 2004, something like this. But he's like a savant, actually. So he's a really crazy hacker that I believe has Down syndrome or something. But he's super eloquent and just like genius. And he decided to hack NASA. And he went in and found images that were, it was one folder that said edit and then original. Just like, and then he went into the original folder and he had to actually, so he's using, he's actually using the NASA computer. So he hacked his computer. So he's actually controlling one of their machines. And this image opens in a proprietary NASA format. So he uses this program. It loads in sections. And then he zooms into the section. And there he says there's like a cigar-like spaceship. And I was like, what? So, you know, working on this project, we went into other deep holes that were just hectic. And I was like, wait, okay, let's finish these posters. Cause
yeah, I was going to say, you must just find yourself just forgetting like why you started the search in the first place, just because you keep finding interesting stuff.
Yeah, and that was why it was fun.
Yeah.
That was why it was fun. Yeah,
especially when we're doing that at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of like lose sight for a second, but
yeah,
I don't know. I think one thing you said on another project was like it's kind of important to go into those holes just because I feel like it informs your decisions later anyway. Mm-hmm. Or it just helps you be more creative, even if it's not like on, you know, it's not like what you're supposed to be doing. But because if you were just doing what you're supposed to be doing, then you're going to have like a foolproof thing, but it might not be as interesting.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm sure you end up in places you never planned to end up in, like whatever preconceptions you had of what the poster was going to look like when you started. If you forget about the poster side, you'll end up somewhere totally different. But there's obviously some sort of thread that brought you there. It was probably pretty amazing.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And actually, a lot of it was, like, I think we have some early posters that I think I looked back and they weren't that good.
Yeah.
Maybe we thought they were good, but it took us understanding space.
Just hadn't gotten, like, deep into space enough.
Yeah. It took us, like, living in the future to make that. And I was just like, oh. Okay. Yeah. So we have these posters, and I think like out of the 10, there's like maybe three, and then four that we could attribute to like each one of us as like having more of a hand in.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
So the one I posted was the one that I had a little bit more of a hand in, or the one that I gave you. I'll show you one that Topeka had the most hand in as well. We're going to post that right now as well. But I think like this collaborative nature is what made everything fun.
How long have you guys been working together?
It was actually, it's been over a year. It's been a year and a half. So Topeka emailed me.
Was that
me.
The first project, that Air Max project that you guys worked? No.
Mm-mm. What was the first project? Was there a project or were we just like doing stuff?
We were just doing stuff, but I think it was a Nike thing.
Really?
You were already working on some Nike thing and then I just like jumped into it.
Mm. Shout out Nike things.
Yeah.
Here's the one. Yeah.
This is the one that Topeka you worked on with?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This one too.
There's a lot of things that like we, and we're, I think myself, Topeka, Travis, have an affinity for specific textures and obviously like imperfections and things like that. So we skewed some of the type to feel 3D and all that.
So before, I was going to say, when did you, just jumping way back, like when did you start working independently? You mean obviously with people and with friends and stuff, but like, when were you like, I don't have a boss? I'm gonna like run my own studio.
Let me put on a record and think about it as we put on a record. That one's like, yeah. Let me put on. Let me grab a record. A record that inspires me.
Good background music
about independence. All right, one moment. Okay, putting model 500 back on. Yo.
All right, make sure you click the... Oh, the record's up, Larry. We'll hear in a minute. Oh, there it is.
We got the music. Cool.
We set the stage.
Yeah. Independence, man.
Do you remember? Has it been like a long time?
I think I was trying to... I think the answer is I don't think I've ever worked anywhere to begin with.
That's
so
right.
I think... And I didn't go to school or any of that fun shit, so... what I did was I tried working at a few places. I always worked retail. So I started graphic design when I was like 15, downloading apps, like programs. We call them apps now. They were even called, Jesus Christ. They're just called programs, applications. But yeah, I was just downloading shit on Kazaa and LimeWire and SoulSeek. And I was like, yo, I want to get Fruity Loops. And then I got Illustrator and Photoshop. And one of them worked. I was better at one than the other, you know, editing videos or music. It just didn't. I don't know, I didn't have the same response to it. I was very visual. So with that start, I just started doing, you know, skateboard graphics. And I'm going to tell you, like, the long version of
please.
This. Yeah. I was on MySpace. I would upload things I made on MySpace. I'd just post them. And I would DM people. So I was, like, messaging. I was into skateboarding so heavy. So I was, like, friends with people on MySpace. I was like, oh, my God. Mike Carroll accepted my friend request. No fucking way. And then Nick Turche, and then Diamond was like this. It was a skate company first. Yeah. They started getting into streetwear and all that, or like kind of helped carve what that means in a way too. But yeah, it was just like.
Did they start off as like hardware?
Hardware. Yeah. Diamond Supply Co. Yeah, it's hardware. It's hardware that you use an Allen wrench, which I arguably didn't work, but it was tight. You know what I mean? And Nick's a legend. It's like actually one of the greatest things that happened to me was meeting him. So actually has a patent. He has a inventor's plaque for inventing that hardware with the Allen key.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I messaged him on MySpace and amongst other people, and he was just like, yo, do some wheels for Fillmore. This is a wheel company. And I ended up doing a bunch of stuff for him.
Was this in LA?
I was in Santa Ana still.
Montana.
Yeah. And then
the ground zero for skateboarding companies.
Kind of, right? Yeah.
Isn't
actually,
like everything like located there?
Yeah.
The like offices and stuff are in Santa Ana.
Yeah, totally. I was actually working at the Obey warehouse, just like packing online orders, or not even online orders. There was no online yet. It was just, Jesus Christ, my perception of time is so skewed with how fast
it's
moving.
USPS shipping.
Yeah, USPS shipping. What's that? You don't just teleport shit? So, yeah, I was working at the warehouse there, and yeah, ground zero, man. It was like Obey, Crew.
Crew.
Yeah.
Is Crew still around?
I think so, yeah. I feel like they are super old, that shit. So, yeah, Nick was like, do some shit. So I ended up doing some graphics, and I was like trying to get out of Orange County so much. I was kind of living in the hood. I'm not from like, you know, the worst neighborhood in the world, but like, you know, Fairview and McFadden, if anybody knows where that is, holler. You know what I mean? Shit sucks. But you know, I was just living with my dad and my grandma's house and all that. So Nick was like, I was like, bro, listen, I can give you whatever graphics you want and trade for rent. Just let me sleep on your floor for a couple weeks to get out of Orange County. He's like, sure. He's like, I don't have a bed or anything. I was like, cool.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and then I moved into his place. Overstayed my welcome a bit, but got like some really rad graphics, early Diamond Supply graphics. Diamond Maiden, the one where like it's Eddie from Iron Maiden cover holding a diamond. He might have, maybe I can talk about that. I feel like he got a strong cease and desist from that one. But sold a lot. I'm sure he sold a lot of those. This is a popular shirt, but... yeah, man. So being independent, that was just how I got started. So I think I was already doing my thing and I worked places, but it wasn't design work. So the first job I got was at a magazine. So I was interning there and then I ended up as assistant designer.
This was after you met Nick?
Yeah.
You started working, you did the work with Diamond?
Yeah, exactly. So I stayed with him for like a couple months and then from there I moved out. And then I was just in LA doing like freelance, like party flyers, t-shirts, logos, all this stuff. But already kind of had my thing going, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, and then I worked at a magazine, left the magazine, then I worked at Fresh Jive for a little bit. Uh-huh. Yeah, shout out Rick Klotz, it's my guy. Rick was a big influence too, because he's just so much into this crazy esoteric stuff, and he has an insane book collection, and he appreciates detail. I think he taught me mostly about nuance and like how to make a texture perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, like we would do graphics and he was like, don't ever deliver me a fucking vector graphic ever. And I was just like, but you can expand it. It's like better. It's not pixel. He's like, dude. He's like, how old are you? I'm from the 80s. He's like, no vectors. I was like, okay, sorry.
So we you had still stick to the no vectors rule?
Yes, I do. Actually, no, I don't have any vector shit ever. Except when I deliver a logo, because I'm like, here's the logo. But the way I'm going to show it, it's not going to be a vector.
Right.
So,
and just to dive into that, is that because like the sizing and the context of it is really specific to how you design and show it?
No, like, I think this came from, and it's one of those things that got hammered into my skull, but... there's new methods of production than there were in the 80s, right? But I think what it came down to is like a lot of my inspiration and a lot of my reference comes from different ways of creating things. I don't look at stuff that was made this year, even in the past 5 years, very often at all. And I just needed to learn what it took to make that stuff. And you know, I think now I don't have to go and letter set, like typeset wood block shit. You know, we don't have to do that. But I try to approach all the work with an analog state of mind. Hmm. And oftentimes like I'm doing a lot more printing and scanning than anything else. So I think the no vector thing also is just, it doesn't really, I don't know. I'd rather just take a picture of it on my phone and then contrast it.
It's a good limit, I think, to also impose in terms of like that process of design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just decided like looking at my work, I just took a little bit of a self-survey. And I made some loose rules because rules are here to break. But I was like, no vectors, no green. I don't use green or anything. Someone is gonna like phone in if you see my work with green in it. 646-476-5075. We'll fight about it. But
where does that line for green start? Like that's what you're wearing. Is that green?
No, that's a tennis ball yellow.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? But. I think green was, sorry guys, I'm chewing peanuts. No. It's delicious, but I don't know. It was just one of those things. I just noticed I never use it. I don't think I like it. I look at it and I don't care about it. Mm. I don't care for it. And I was just like, oh, I should just cut it out completely. Because every time I tried to use it, I'm not happy with it. So
it doesn't like fit with the way you're doing.
Yeah. It was one of those things. I was like, oh, this is actually not working for me. You know, one of those things that's in your life that you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, not to make it dramatic, but I was like, I don't need green.
Has that always been the case? It's kind of like not into green?
No. It was just, I think like 3 years ago I saw that. Mm-hmm. Like I actually did worked on a record cover for this band called Wet, called Don't You, with Milan Zernick, photographer, shout out to him. But we used like a kind of, I would say like a green on the spectrum of teal. So it's like a little bit more bluish, or actually even it's a little bit more grayish, but that was kind of my exception. It just made sense.
For that one time.
Yeah. Yeah, but
but getting back to that, I mean, that's an amazing, like, that sort of start of just figuring out they making something, posting it, reaching out to people, and actually having one of those people be like, hey, come design something.
Yeah, I was just hustling it. And I feel like kids are doing that now on like a crazier level on social media. I wasn't thirsty about it either. Like, you know, I think that, you know, those, you'll see any post and it's like, check out my mixtape, like on Twitter or whatever. I think I was just kind of like, I wanted to show respect. Like I respected these people so much. It wasn't about like, hey, I want you to like hire me or check out my shit. I was just like, hey, I admire you so much. And for you to even see this is really important to me. And I think just being able to feel like I was in proximity to something that I really admired, because in Orange County, there really isn't shit. There's skate culture. I saw a lot of skateboarders in Orange County. There's a lot of spots and stuff, but felt really cool to
well, especially have, like in comparison to now, like I think that idea of posting your work up there as a way to get attention in that regard was less prevalent then. So like were there other people doing that same thing where like, oh, that's a way to do it, or are you just like, we're putting it up out of personal interest?
Yeah, I think there was people that used MySpace in that way, because I think, what did we have at the time? There was DeviantArt.
Yeah. There's DeviantArt.
I never had a DeviantArt, but then there was also a t-shirt one where you could make t-shirts. I'm going to forget all these names. I'll remember them later, but there's DeviantArt, but I think MySpace was just like, hey, we're all on here. Mm-hmm. And everyone's putting stuff up there, and it wasn't intentional to get work. I actually had no idea that I could end up doing that. Like, yeah. I was just doing it. I was making it. And then when it came down to, like, hey, do a graphic for us, I was like,
cool.
I just thought it was free. Like, yeah, I didn't know. I was generally like, oh, cool. Well, how much? Yeah, I asked him. I was like, how much do you do? You, like, what do we do? You know what I mean? And he was just like, $300. I was like, what? Whoa. Sick. Like, $300?
You're like repeating it. You're like, I get paid to do this now?
Yeah. So that was genuinely, it was just really honest. I really love doing it, and that's how I learned. But I think, you know, as back to being independent, like circling all the way there was, that was just really how I got started. Yeah. So I didn't have like the school thing, and then school teaches you like, hey, you got to get a job, and then cause you're going to have to pay this shit off, homie. Yeah. You're going to have to pay this shit off. And I was just like, shit. So I tried to get into school, but that's something I actually tried to do. Mm. I couldn't do it. So I lived in a group home like from 15 to 16. And there was more support for me to like get into school. There was like some subsidies and things like this, but I tested out of school. So I was trying to emancipate myself so I could get out of like I had a really tough upbringing. So I had like a living situation, all that stuff I was trying to get out of. And then I tested out of school, got out of the group home, all that stuff. So I didn't really have I wasn't really set up for success in the sense of like, right. Oh, you're going to merge straight into like a good art school. So I just kind of started working. I started working before I had a work permit. I was working at a skate shop called Identity when I was like 15. They're like, wait, do you have a work permit? I was like, yeah, I gave it to you. Cool. They're like, no, you said you're going to bring it, but we let you start.
Bring it tomorrow.
Yeah, bring it tomorrow. Yeah, bring it tomorrow. It's all good. It's whatever. Just pay me cash. So I don't know, man. I hate to say hustle. That's all it was, though. That's what it was. I was just trying to make it.
Do you remember, like, was there a moment, like, was Nick and Diamond the first time you got paid for your work?
No. So actually my friend Scotty from the Hundreds, actually we met on Nike Talk because we were actually skateboarders on the Nike forum. And this is when SBs got really popular.
Nike Talk has launched a bunch of careers.
Like, yeah.
Seriously, it's come up a couple times already.
Yeah. And if anybody knows the username Analog Bubble Bath, which is an Aphex Twin song, they know that was actually Ben Baller. So people were like, yo, he's like, you know, he's actually a really rad, cultured, intelligent dude that was like, you know what, I'm going to make diamonds for rappers. Straight up, like he's rad. And one of the sickest dudes on Nike Talk too. But Scotty Ill was my guy. Shout out Scotty. He was like, yo, I have some stuff for you. I have, he's actually living in LA. So he's like, you know, just sitting side by side with this A&R that works at Atlantic. This guy was an A&R doing Shady Aftermath or whatever. So he dropped Eminem mixtape. I forgot. That was actually one of the first things I worked on. I did a bandana for this Eminem Shady Records mixtape. And I can't even believe I'm saying this shit right now.
So
I haven't even seen that thing ages. But that thing got made into a mixtape cover, a vinyl, a pair of Vans, whatever. It was like a promo mixtape. Yeah, for Aftermath Records. And then I made some promo t-shirts for the game One Blood.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to dig that shit up too. What?
We got to find these images. We'll have to post these once we get off.
Yeah. So that was actually, I did that when I was still in Santa Ana.
Okay.
And then they were like, we're going to mail you some stuff. And then I, between finishing the project and them finally mailing me stuff 6 months later, I had already moved to LA. So I never got it.
Oh, damn.
I just have some PSDs laying around somewhere. Damn. So yeah, if anybody phone in, if you know where to find this stuff, 646-476-5075. hook me up. But that was one of the first ones. And then from there I was like, wow, you know, I think that was the first one that actually gave me enough money to move out. Like, so, you know, I stayed with Nick or whatever, but then I had some pocket money to like survive. So that was that.
Were there any times where you're like, as much as I love doing this and I'm making a little bit of money, I can't, is this like, am I going to be able to do this as my life?
I don't know.
You just kept running with it.
I just worked retail, dude. I worked retail the whole time. I worked at Skate Shop in Santa Ana, or not in Santa Ana, in Buena Park called Identity, right by Knott's Berry Farm. So that was our hood, Peak Skate Park. That was my hood. And then went to LA. I was working just straight up at American Apparel. Everybody I know in LA at some point worked there. And I was just, you know, retail, whatever. And then where else was I? Then I worked at like G-Star. It was just like random. I'm like giving you guys the whole.
This is good.
Yeah, G-Star is just like, I was like, damn, I need to make actual, like more money than just the rent. So I tried to get like a job where it's retail and commission.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it was whatever. It was just like, I'm trying to just trying to eat. That's like all I came down to. And I was doing graphics the whole time. But yeah, then I finally got like an internship and a job at like a place doing design at a magazine.
And you didn't, but you didn't really like it, or you stayed there for a little while?
I liked it, but I think that I was just I was on salary. That was like the first. I was like, oh, wow, I'm doing this. But it was, I probably was making more retail than salary there. Mm-hmm. It was just like for me trying to get in the door. And there was a creative director there at the time that was pretty cool, that I was friends with and really helped me a bit. And I think like, yeah, I think publishing was having a hard time. So yeah. they I won't even say the name of the place, but they kind of took everybody off salary in like a sketchy way. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was like, bro. They're like, well, you know, we really think that it'd be rad if you just worked here. I was like,
you're like, fuck?
For what, though? I was like, because now I got bills to pay because I've been paying them. And then, yeah, yeah. So then I bounced. But yeah, that was my first design job. That was cool. But
and then, was that like after that? Did you, like, when did you, was there a moment where, like, I can actually do the graph, like, full time, the graphic stuff that I love to do without a supplementary job or a position somewhere?
Yeah, it was basically, after that. So, oh, actually, directly after that, I was at Fresh Drive for a bit, and that was mm-hmm. awesome. But right after that, I was like, oh, I could just be doing this.
That's amazing.
And I merged out of Fresh Drive in a way that I was already getting too much stuff where
like
I could.
Like side work kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I just went for it, yeah.
Was that like, did it feel like a jump at that point? You're like, no, actually, this is the shit I've been doing. Oh, wait, you want to flip it over?
Oh, yeah, we're going to flip this record. I thought it was just like rain, the rain track.
Nature rain sounds as a as a break. Sounds kind of rainy. Sounds good.
Yo.
Oh yeah. So like when you're like, dude, I can actually do this.
Mm-hmm.
What does it? Was it? Did it feel like a leap where you're like, oh shit, let's take this risk? Or actually, no, I've been doing this for a while anyway, and we're just gonna keep going with this.
Man, honestly, I think the way I approach that stuff is a little bit. My perspective is very skewed. So I've just been through a lot of shit as a young child, and like, you know, family and. My mom having mental illness, my dad having mental illness, and, you know, just all these things I've really been through a lot, and living in a group home, and my perception of like a risk is just fucking crazy. It's mm-hmm. not it, like my ratio of like risk to reality is yeah. just, I don't really know. There's nothing I really jumped out and was like, oh man, this is going to be really scary. I've just been yeah. like, I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
So I just kind of go about stuff. So I've been really fortunate in a way where that provided me this like sort of fearless perspective, but I was like, I just knew I was going to figure it out, you know, just like drop me in the middle. I'll swim, you know? So I think that being said, it was scary, but I just had to believe, mm-hmm. you know? And, the answer is like, yes, it was a risk, but I was just like, and you know, as you're doing that, you're young. I'm not like super confident in the work yet and all that, but I was just like, I know that I just believed in something and I just tried to follow it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you, when you were growing up before you moved, I guess, out of your home and with like Nick's house,
yeah.
did you know anybody or seen anybody that had pursued some sort of like arts or creative thing and be like, oh, that's actually a thing I could do? Because same thing, I'm sure when I was growing up, I didn't know
yeah.
architecture was a profession, graphic design was a profession.
Yeah.
I don't really think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see anybody personally, but so I was like a big fan of Girl Skateboards, mm-hmm. and Girl Skateboards had this team called the Art Dump, and they kind of yeah, yeah. really celebrated these guys because they're the guys that were making all the graphics, and it was so sick. Like, it was Andy Jenkins, Evan Hickox. It was just like a bunch of really rad dudes, and I felt like I wanted to picture what does it look like in their office. They're probably like, you know, I just had this imagination that was like, this has got to be so cool. Yeah. And I knew that they were doing it for a living because I could actually put a face to the work huh. that they were doing. And all the graphics on Girl are sick. I still have like original sticker packs and stuff from CrayolTap.com, but I saw that and I was like, I want to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is exactly what I want to do. But I never saw the ascension of somebody like periphery to me.
Right. To know like how to do it.
No, yeah. yeah
to follow that.
Everyone was just like school.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn. So there was a long time I believed that I couldn't do it.
Was there any like, I guess there was pressure to go to school, but was there any like, were you upset when you were like, I'm not going to go to school? Or were you like, actually, I'm actually really happy I don't have to go to school? Because I can imagine there was a lot of like interest mm-hmm. around you for you to go to school.
Yeah, I think I was upset midway. So I wasn't upset initially. I was just like, okay, I'm just working, not doing school. Also, I'm like 18, 19, 20, 21 at the time. And that's just a really fun time in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was genuinely working retail, doing some graphic stuff on the side, and then having a really good time, you know, enjoying myself, going to like techno clubs and all this stuff, and all my friends were like in music. They're all DJs through parties. I was just having a good time. So I wasn't like so stressed on a career, and then like a switch flipped at like 21, 22, where I was like, now I'm going to take it seriously. And that was when I made the jump, right? So then I was like independent for a bit. That was when I was like, okay, damn, I really wish I went to school, you know, because there was just a few, it was just a really hard time learning the things that you think. It was a mind game. So you're like, damn, I'm learning all this stuff real time, and it's actually really hard for me.
Right.
And in my head, I was thinking, Mal, they must have teach you all this stuff in school. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't think they do either.
How to respond to email, how to invoice, and all these things where I was like, damn, how do you even do this stuff? And set up a project and actually, you know, rounds and revisions. And, you know, you're like 22, trying to run an independent thing. So then later I learned that everyone had to figure that out. And I was like, oh, crazy. Wait, so as I started, you know, there was a middle ground between like 21, 22, 23, 24, where I was like, damn, I really wish I went to school. And the biggest thing was community. Actually, that was the one thing I knew you did get from school is community and creative community. But later I was like, I think it's all right. I'm so glad I didn't go. And then, you know, it took some mentors of mine telling me like, hey, dude, this is why your stuff is what it is because you're not following these rules right. that get hammered into you at a young age.
Do you think it's also like shaped how you approach things that you don't know how to do now?
Yes.
Which I'm sure like you're always trying to pursue new stuff, which means you're always trying to throw yourself into stuff that you haven't done.
Yeah, I'm trying to start doing video editing myself now because I'm trying to work on a specific thing. So I'm teaching myself on Skillshare how to edit in Premiere and all that. And that's actually a really simple thing. I've done video stuff, but I've always edited my videos in Photoshop, believe it or not. Throwing that one out there for the people. I edit video in Photoshop.
So, I didn't know that was possible.
Me neither.
Like frame by frame? How does it even work?
I think it was the right when I signed up for Creative Cloud, I was like, oh, that was the big leap when I started paying for software.
Yeah, you're like legit now.
Yeah, I was like, bro, I can't be buying these. These things keep crashing on me. Version 6. Whatever.
Adobe, don't come after Hassan. He's
sponsor the kid. But that was when I was like, bro, okay, I'm gonna do this and teach myself how to do it. And then I think right when I signed up, they were like released an update where it was like video now capable. And I somehow paid attention to that. Now I don't even pay attention to the updates. I only update it if a file won't open. I'm like, I can't open this fucking file anymore. Oh, old version, fine.
That's like that's professional concern.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm trying to teach myself new stuff all the time. I just approach it like I can figure it out, you know. And I think that's a personality thing less than like an education thing. It's just like, you know, let's figure it out.
But, do you remember it being into like arts or drawing or anything as a kid? I mean, before even like coming across CurlTab and art time stuff?
Collage, yeah. So I was like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, like 12, 13. And my big sister had some magazine subscriptions like Vogue, Elle. Some beauty stuff or whatever, and Bazaar, and my mom had some random travel magazines, like because my mom had like a kind of travel agency that she ran out of the apartment, so it was like booking cruises and stuff for couples. So she had like a little office with like a fax machine, scissors, and then all these magazines. So I just started cutting stuff up and drawing on top of it, and just started collaging, and I think like a lot of it I didn't know what it was, but I was just making anything, to be honest. I actually got to dig some of that stuff up. It's in storage.
Really?
Yeah. I won't even tell you guys my old pseudonym, but...
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We could have another peanut for some
light. Yeah. We're going to think about it. We might put on another record, and then I'll start peeling the layers of the onion. We're going to do office hours round two, baby.
Amazing. We'll get some drinks first. And then...
mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe later tonight. We'll see.
That's amazing, though, that kind of... like collage, which obviously at that point is just out of pure interest.
Yeah.
Is like, it seems like a part in a way of how you still work. Like you're kind of taking things, putting together, like sampling other things, putting together.
Yeah.
And then adding a layer of your own stuff on top.
Totally. Yeah. That's exactly how I do it.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. So I think like, that's the method. I think that I really wanted to make something out of what I had in front of me, which wasn't a lot. And honestly, I think that's how hip hop got started. They were just, you know, taking things that I think every hip hop producer or rapper in the world will do an interview. They'll tell you that they grew up in a home where their parents had these soul samples or these, you know, these soul records or these funk records or these jazz records. And that's what inspired them to do a lot of the music they make today. So I really approach my art direction and design like that. And my art.
Are there, I was going to ask, Are there like besides the video thing? Are there things that you're trying to get into now that you can talk about? That again are sort of like, I don't know how to do that at all, but it's actually super interesting, and we're just gonna like learn and figure it out.
Yeah. So like, I think the one thing I think the biggest thing I try to do is use restraint. So with my work, you know, even if it's video or photo or any medium, I think we talked about earlier, like the medium isn't the defining thing for what I make. I try to do the concept first, but I want to use 3D. I think there's a lot of really amazing, talented people using 3D now in a way that's very 3D, and it's reimagining things, stuff that you actually can't physically make. But I would like to learn to use 3D in a way where I can render or mold something that maybe doesn't exist, but it's going to question people, like have people question its context. They're like, wait, you know, I think collaging 3D with a real photo is interesting. So I want to learn to use 3D, but not for the sake of like making 3D looking shit.
Right.
So just to understand it and know it.
Do you think right now, like, because it seems like obviously the kinds of, not even just the mediums, but the types of clients or projects you're doing are super eclectic, like pretty wide.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how you and your office and your work is growing or changing or transforming, is it strategic or is it kind of fluid in terms of, oh, here's something interesting to me, I'm going to pursue it? Or like for example, you're like, all right, I'm going to do whatever video work for the next 3 years. I'm going to take up collage. I'm going to like jump into 3D work when that's done.
Yeah. That would be, I love the way you think.
No, that's not how, yeah. Honestly, nobody works like, nobody we've talked to works like that.
Artists, they're like, I'm going to cancel like, all projects what? For 3 years yeah. and work on, yeah. Give me 3 years to do anything. I think I'll figure it out, but I need that the whole 3 years. It's fluid. It's not specific. I know there's stuff that I don't want to do. And a lot of that I've learned through, not trial and error, but just like the experience on different projects. So I really love digital and web and interaction, but I don't think I'm going to do much of that these days. I think that that's just something that I got to cut out of the equation. You know, I've been able and been happy to launch like a few good websites for photographers or microsites, or also like Jacques Green, shout out Jacques Green, music producer, but I did some web stuff and they were all part of like bigger creative direction projects. But I think that understanding it is good enough for me. And like, if that's going to be a supplement to something bigger, great. But I don't think that's a project I want to roll out top to bottom, you know? So there's stuff that I don't want to do. And there's also stuff that, yeah, I think it's just open. It's got to be fun and interesting, and it's got to be semi-conceptual to some level, if not completely conceptual, and you know, figure it out.
And maybe just like as a kind of last question or topic or whatever, because obviously now you're like you're rolling with a bunch of work. You're actually doing amazing stuff.
Thank you.
Getting to work with a bunch of amazing people. But again, like your work, at least for my, it feels so personal, and hearing how it came out obviously like makes so much sense that
yeah.
it was always just from like your own intuitions and interests and putting that together. So like, do you have a sense right now of basically how big or small you want to keep your studio, to keep it as personal or to keep it more like to be able to do more work, to get bigger, or to actually keep it really intimate? So it's really just your heart's always into it. Your soul's always into it.
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's actually a question that it's something I've been thinking about every day for the past 2 years, especially this past month, because I've been talking to a lot of friends and people and, you know, discussing people that really care about me and support me that are like, you know, what's the next step? How far do you, you know? And I think that the answer is small, and everybody thinks bigger is better. I have people reaching out and they're like, man, like, when are you going to like, I love what you're doing, but I can't wait to see what this version of this looks like with a bunch of people under you. Or I was like, I don't know if that's the answer. You know what I mean? I think what they're thinking is like scale. They're like, it'd be cool to do like some really big project. I don't know, like a, you know, some massive thing, but it's not about having all these people under you or something. That's not it. I think there's been a few times where, you know, because it's a small studio, it's myself, project manager, and then a few rotating designers, art directors, is we've scale up and scale down whatever you kind of need. So I think that like the nimbleness and versatility of that is great. You know, there's been ones where I've had just too many people. I was like, this is, you know, you can't really, you become managing and not thinking conceptually. So the more I can keep my hands on everything, I feel like the happier I'll be with the outcome of it. Yeah. So I think the answer to that is just like one day at a time and slowly and surely. I feel like you get this gut feeling, you know if it feels right. And anybody that has, like, is independent or has a studio, phone in at 646-476-5075. But you know what it's like to have a huge project that becomes this thing where you're not only managing, like, expectations and, like, you know, once you get into, like, art direction, creative direction, you're not just delivering assets. Like, you have to be somebody that you can talk to and is like, you know, actually being emotionally attached and available for people, being conversational, social, and you have to be very confident to do all these things. I think the more people involved, it just gets difficult. You want to be really stoked on the thing. So I think that there's ways to do big projects with a small amount of people or a small amount of, like, I guess, yeah, like management, right. But there's projects that just need to be delivered super fast and you need more hands on deck.
Yeah.
So I try to stay away from those, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're everyone has them. Even the big brands, people I'm working with right now, they're like, hey, we have 2 weeks. And right. Those are fun sprints. They're good. It's like boot camp or something. You learn a lot from it and you dedicate yourself to it. That's what the Air Max thing was for us, actually. It's fast, but it was 3 of us. That's it. So that was great. That was perfect.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's been projects where it's been 10 of us and I'm like, you know, if that's the case, we just want a little bit more time, you right. know. I think time is everything, man.
I do feel like that's, like, so many friends of mine in offices that are friends of mine that are, you know, kind of getting their feet into themselves now, mm-hmm. like running a company of sorts or running a studio of sorts, face that same problem. It's like, all right, because you want to do work that has more impact and, like, more
yeah.
reach.
Yeah.
But also, are you losing that personal touch or that kind of personal investment that you as the designer or founder can put in, or are you just managing a group of other people?
Yeah.
And that's, like, a very central question that I feel like everybody at some point sort of makes a decision of which way to go.
Yeah, totally. And I can say that there's friends of mine that are going through that now where they're like, yeah, you know, we've tried the scale thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think we want to make sure that we're going back to having everything be as great and standing the test of time as long as possible. Just really amazing work that has, like, your stamp on it, and there's never, like, an aesthetic stamp. It's always, like, a signature. You look at something and you're like, fuck, I know Peter Seville did that, or fuck, I know X, Y, and Z did that. Not because it looks this way, because it feels this way. And I think if you start to not have that close relationship with the work, then it's like any relationship. If you're not close, you know, if you're not really in touch, and if you're not there, if you're not present and showing up, then it's just not gonna feel good.
Dude. Well, thank you, Hassan.
Thank you so much.